listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
Yes, you are. And I must say, like I said last week, it is another rainy Thursday in Los Angeles.
Rainy days and Mondays always get me down.
I love it when you sing that.
Don't you?
I do.
Don't you? Then why did you roll your eyes?
That's part of the love.
Is that it? Yeah. I love this. I was talking to someone in the lobby about it. It's just that, you know, we live in Los Angeles. We don't get rain.
Yeah.
And I watch it like it's a movie.
Exactly.
I love it. You know, I miss it.
Especially when it's not, you know, storms and downpours. We haven't gotten those.
No, not yet.
It's just been a nice transitional.
Not yet, but still nice. It gives a sense of seasons.
I know.
You know,
right?
I told you the old Peter Riegert line, what he said about this sense. You know the actor Peter Riegert?
Yes, of course.
When I first came here, I was at a party and I met him there. And I've always been a big fan of Animal House and Local Hero, mm-hmm. two great movies. And we were talking about L.A. having no sense of the passing of time. And he said, let me tell you what living in Los Angeles is like. Mm-hmm. You make a drink, you go down to the pool, and then you're 80. I was like, okay, I will. And it turned out to be true, because I've been here since 1996. I feel like I moved here last year. Anyway, we would like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar.
Two guests today, one here with us in studio and the other joining us by the marvelous electric telephone. First, please welcome Jennifer Schwartz, who's with us. Still, let's give Jennifer her due here.
Jennifer, how are you? In the house.
Later in the program, she'll be discussing a three-week run of the critically acclaimed Eve Ensler play, The Vagina Monologues, to benefit 1 Billion Rising. For those of you that don't know, February 14th is V-Day, and it doesn't just stand for Valentine's in this case. And this will actually be the largest day of action in the history of V-Day, which is a global activist movement to end violence against women and girls. So once again, welcome, Jennifer. Great to have you here.
Absolutely.
And we have a special guest we're going to tell you about in a moment. But, yep. Paul, let me ask you, how was your week in general?
My week was good. My week was good. Just sort of plugging away, working on the film, doing all that stuff.
I understand. I ran into somebody the other day that you had just had a meeting with on a project that you're working on.
Who did you run into?
Scott Umphress.
Ah, yes, yes.
Who was at the Nita Whittaker event at my supper.
Yes, how did that go, by the way?
Fantastic, I think.
Did Nita burn it down?
Burn it down.
Did she?
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yes, she's always amazing.
She's a
full house,
lovely woman.
Yes, lovely.
And her hair.
And her daughters are spectacular looking now. They were in the show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they're singers too, aren't they?
Yes, they are. They have become very good singers, I must say, since, you know, she's been headlining for me for 3-4 years. And they've been in every act, and kind of I've seen them grow up. So they're really quite gorgeous now.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
But she had, you know, Anita's shows, there's always something for everything.
Yeah,
so it was a great night. You missed it. You'll have to come back and see her because I think we're going to bring her back in March or April.
Well, she's like she's sort of a fixture there. Every year she usually stops in, doesn't
yes,
she?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Good. Yeah. No, that's one project with Scott, which I'm not at liberty to talk about yet, but to make it sound covert. But the other one is this film that I'm working on called Beating. It's a short film that addresses bullying, mm-hmm. and we're kicking butt on our Indiegogo campaign. We're about 30% of the way to fully funded. And we're only about 25% of the way into the campaign. So we're in a good place. So
congratulations.
Isn't that cool? You're ahead of the game.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That's awesome. How many people can say that?
Exactly.
Not too many.
Very, very excited.
Good for you, Paul. Well, you know what? I don't think that we should keep the surprise any longer from our guests as to who is going to be joining us here. So I'm going to, if I may.
Please do.
May I?
Please do, yes.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, joining us on the telephone is our first guest who's three-decade career spans television, film, and theater, including over 40 movies of the week, multiple miniseries and TV series, including Safe Harbor, New York News, Family Man, Falcon Crest, Logan's Run, and, of course, Trapper John, M.D. which really made him a household name. He debuted on Broadway in 1997 in Steel Pier, followed by the 2001 Broadway revival of Sondheim's Follies, co-starring Blythe Danner, Treat Williams, and the great Judith Ivey. More recently, he played Billy Flynn in Chicago, both on Broadway and in the National 72 City Tour.
72 cities. 72 I just shudder thinking about
I know.
That.
Can
72
you imagine?
Cities, yeah.
I'd like to.
There's very few things I want to do 72 times. But anyway, go on. Sorry.
We'll let him tell us about it. Please welcome Gregory Harrison.
Hello, Gregory Harrison. Are you with us on the electric telephone?
I am with you. Thank you for that long and arduous intro.
We like to cover our bases.
Hey, man, we just read the cards you send us, man.
I'm going to have to trim my bio.
Oh, my gosh. Gregory, you are opening in a new show in town. Very exciting. The Snake Can. I hear it's fantastic.
Good. And glad you're hearing that.
Yeah, good things about it. Tell our audience a little bit about this. You're also working with some wonderful people and a wonderful director. But tell us a little bit about the play itself.
Can you give us a little synopsis without giving too much away?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's a six-character play. Actually, I think seven, because one of the men plays two roles in it. But it's about middle age and dealing with the a lot of different kinds of trials and tribulations of being middle aged and what that means in the world today, and what relationships are like, especially trying to establish new relationships at that age.
Mm-hmm.
In today's world, and I play a character who's a film television star whose wife has sort of been in his shadow for 25 years, and she decides to leave him, not because their marriage isn't working, but because she wants to be in the light. She wants to be in the limelight, and she's a painter, and she wants to go out and finally, instead of tending to his career, tend to her own. And my character is trying to deal with trying to be, happy again as a single man in his late 50s.
So I find it the role, the play, is it a world premiere? Has it been performed before? Or because I know Odyssey.
No, it hasn't. This is the world premiere.
Because I know the Odyssey. I love the Odyssey Theater, Michael.
Yes,
I don't know if
indeed.
I told you that. It's right. It's walking distance from the Breakdown Services offices where I used to work. So I used to, whenever something was at the Odyssey, especially when I was an Ovation voter, I loved it because I could walk right over and the space. But I've seen some wonderful, wonderful stuff there, and I know that they're known for their premiere. So I was just curious about that. It's this being the first production of it. Do you find
it is? And Kathy Graff is the writer. She's a fabulous playwright. Former actress.
She wrote one
play prior to this.
Hermetically Sealed was the play, right?
I believe it was.
Yes.
And she has written a really interesting piece that really explores the dynamics of these relationships, and there's a lot of humor and pathos, and I think a lot of people will relate to somebody particularly in this group. And find that, they see themselves in, if not several of them, at least one of the people that's out on that stage. And we have an amazing cast of actors, Jane Kaczmarek, who's a wonderful actress, and Sharon Sharth, Diane Carey, Joel Polis, and James Lancaster. Several of them I've actually worked with before in my career, and I'm glad to be back on stage with them.
Well, Jane Kaczmarek, I want to say that before we went on the air, I was telling Gregory about a movie of the week that we both did that we worked together on. We didn't work the same day, but we worked on the same thing. But oddly enough, I also worked with Jane Kaczmarek because I did an episode of Malcolm in the Middle with her when she was on Malcolm in the Middle. What a sweet woman. Just very, very nice and completely unaffected. Very funny. Ridiculously
very
funny.
Very, very funny. She'll find the funny in anything.
Yes.
Now, does she play opposite you as your wife, or is that somebody?
No, actually, Jane and I have one scene where we sort of cross paths. Her storyline takes her with another gentleman, with James Lancaster's character. And Diane Carey and I are husband and wife, and Sharon Sharth becomes someone I'm interested in pursuing.
That's it. She's just great. No, it sounds great. I want to catch that one.
You know, Gregory, here's my connection to you is that I have been a longtime friend of.
It's 6 degrees of Harrison today.
Exactly.
That's
a
what
long
it is.
Longtime friend of Billy Hutton. And of course,
Billy Hutton. Yes, sure.
Yeah, and with your tenure at the Coast Playhouse, when your company was funding that and operating the Coast Playhouse in Los Angeles for, what, 14, 15 years, I think.
14 or 15 years.
Yeah,
right.
You did some amazing productions there. That was.
Yeah, we had a lot of successful shows down there. We did about 60 productions during that time, and Billy was in a lot of them.
Yes.
Is this the same?
He was a fabulous singer, and plus he was part of the staff of Catalina Productions that ran that whole theater operation. So
right.
Billy was involved in everything.
Is this the same?
The films, TV movies, and the theater stuff that we did.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Is this the same William Hutton that was Joseph in the original Joseph
and
the Tapes? You think I don't know musical theater, but you throw and you guys are throwing the name Billy around. I even remember it was William Hutton because I had the thing. So you know, you think I don't pay attention to you, Michael, but I do.
You have an encyclopedic knowledge.
Don't ask me about anything outside Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. That's the extent of my knowledge. Gregory, I was to comment on what Michael was saying. For those of us that know you primarily from film and television, I was really astounded to read about the theater company, your Catalina Productions, and the number of awards. I mean, more than 100 LA Theater Awards for 60 productions. That's a damn good average. You guys must have generated some incredible work there. You yourself got an Ovation Award for outstanding contribution to LA Theater. That was that had to be a real pleasure.
It was a nice gesture on the part of the LA Theater community to, after I finally had to close down the production office, my partner passed away way back, and Frank Levy, way back in the mid-90s, and I had moved to raise my family up on the coast of Oregon, and I didn't want to move back down to run the theater myself, so... So they sort of thanked me by giving me this Theater Achievement Award in Los Angeles for those 14 or 15 years that I really devoted to it, you know?
Boy, oh boy. I think back to the time that, I mean, you lived on Catalina Island. You were brought up on that island. Am I correct?
Correct. Born and raised,
born
third generation.
Born and raised. Did you ever think that this life ahead of you was going to happen? I mean... on an island, let alone you know anything else, and perhaps be
well,
content.
It was an odd path. Mm-hmm. Certainly, it was a great way to grow up. I think it was a gift, and something I didn't appreciate as fully then as I do looking back. But it was really idyllic and empowering to grow up in nature like that and be able to be left to my own devices by my parents as a small child, even, and just sort of left out on my own. They showed me how to avoid rattlesnakes and not drown, and other than that, I didn't have to worry about anything.
Boy,
and I would, they'd say, come back when the sun goes down, you know, and that was fine. And so I developed a good imagination and kind of a self-sufficiency that has helped me in my career, you know. And when my father, who ran the glass bottom boats, my grandfather did as well, but my father had taken it over, when they shot this movie with Doris Day and Rod Taylor called The Glass Bottom Boat, they shot it on my dad's boat.
Oh, wow.
And I watched him film it, and I went, okay, I'm going to do that for a living.
I know what I want to do, because I want to be shot, I want to be filmed on the boat and not have to clean it. You know,
exactly.
And when did you make that journey across the sea to Los Angeles?
I got out of the Army in about 1971, and I went back to Catalina for a couple of months to get my feet under me, and then I did a little musical in a bar over there, and Jason Robards saw it and told me he thought I could make a living as an actor, and the next day I went to Hollywood.
Wow. Well, yeah, there's a person to tell you what to do.
Yeah.
You listen.
He didn't remember it. I years later, I said, thank you so much for that. And he goes, He said, was I drinking back then?
In a bar. It wasn't
said,
a bar.
Yeah, he said, I don't remember that, but I'm glad that I generated some positive activity.
Oh, that's great.
Well, having the opportunity to become an actor, you know, via his suggestion is one thing, but having the career that you've had is a testament to the fact that it really was just waiting inside of you to come out. And boy, did it ever. I mean, you were... And you still are one of the, you know, the great stars of television and the Broadway stage. And we certainly hope that you're planning on doing something back in New York at some point in the future.
I'm always open for it, and I really appreciate the kind words. Thank you.
Well, my pleasure.
Let's also let people know about how they can see you live here in L.A. This is the show is The Snake Can, and this is at the acclaimed Odyssey Theater. Website for them is Odyssey Theater. Theater is spelled RE.com. And this plays Friday nights, Saturday nights at 8, and Sundays at 2. And of course,
actually Thursday nights as well at 8 o'clock.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, thank you for catching that. Thursdays and Fridays at 8. Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays at 8, and Sundays at 2. And this is the Odyssey Theater. Is 2055 South Sepulveda Boulevard in Los Angeles. That's 2055 South Sepulveda. Tickets, you can call 310-477-2055, extension 2. That's 310-477-2055, extension 2. Or, of course, as I mentioned, odysseytheater.com. And we will throw that back out there before the end of the hour today. Get that information back out there. Good parking at the Odyssey. That's huge in Los Angeles. I'm saying that right now. I know. It is. And if you go there, there's a great go down to Sawtelle.
Yeah.
You can walk down to Sawtelle, walk under the 405, make a right, and there's that whole fantastic Asian community right there with a bunch of killer restaurants. I always try to recommend places where you pitch the evening rather than just the show, because parking is... and you. Very few places in L.A. where you can just walk to stuff, and this is one of the places where you can. So just let people know they have all those options. Can you tell I worked in restaurants for years?
I think so.
Do I have that huckster sound?
Gregory
to me?
Probably has been to a few of those restaurants during rehearsals or something. And Gregory, one other thing too, you know, the singer that you are, which is something we don't get to hear enough of you in that format in Los Angeles. You know, I have a lovely supper club here called Sterling's upstairs at the Federal, and you and I actually met through Bruce Kimmel, and you were doing an evening for Bruce at a little club that's rather famous in Los Angeles called the Gardenia.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And that was the first time you and I actually kind of shook hands and had a very brief conversation. But if you ever feel like putting an act together and want a beautiful, beautiful supper club to make your cabaret concert debut in, I would love to welcome you to our club there.
Well,
in NoHo Arts.
Thank you so much for that. I'm going to keep that in mind. I'm actually in the process of putting things together, so I will be calling you back.
Yeah, well, it's a great and you know, Michael, I will say it because Michael won't, but it's a fantastic room. It's very loft like. Jennifer, you should go there. It's so
I've actually been there.
Have you?
It's a really nice space.
Have you been upstairs in that? Yeah, it's sort of like how it's still like got a loft kind of industrial feel to it, yet there's a tremendous intimacy for a room that size. And the food's great, the staff is wonderful, and it's a great place. So
a little slice of Broadway right in the NoHo Arts District across from the El Portal Theater. Yeah.
And if you want to...
I'm going to come just to see whoever you've got there and the room very soon, then.
Please.
And if you want, Gregory, I can come up on stage and we can perform outtakes from Undercover Bridesmaid if you want to do that. It's totally up to you.
We don't want to clear the place out.
We could do an interpretive dance. Of Anyway, it's been great having you on, Gregory.
What a pleasure.
Thank you
for taking time out of your day to do this with us today.
My pleasure. It was really fun. Thank you.
And once again, before Gregory goes, the show is The Snake Can. It's at the Odyssey Theater, 2055 South Sepulveda in L.A., and tickets are at Odyssey Theater, theater with the R-E spelling.com, and that plays, let me see if I can get, plays through, what's the final performance?
February 24th.
Through February 24th. There you go. Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays at 8, Sundays at 2. Thank you so much, Gregory. Great having you on.
Absolutely.
Really a pleasure. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Thank you, sir.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
He's a nice guy.
Very nice man.
He looks like a nice man,
and now we know he is.
He's very striking man. Very striking man.
Yeah.
And he's when we did the little movie of the week, Undercover Bridesmaid. He was everyone said how nice he was. He wasn't there the day that I was shooting, but everyone said he just was the sweetest guy. So nice to have him on the show. Jennifer, bear with us. We have a couple of bills to pay. We have to do our arts calendar and a couple of other things. But once we do, we'll be back to talk to you about the tremendously important project that you are working on, and we'll be able to talk about that at length in a few moments.
Okay.
But right now, best known for her Emmy Award-winning role as repressed psychiatrist Lilith on the hit comedy Cheers, actress, singer, and dancer Bebe Neuwirth is one of today's most versatile performers, having earned 2 Tony Awards on Broadway for her roles in Chicago and Sweet Charity. Accompanied by pianist Scott Cady, the glamorous Neuwirth brings the stage to life on February 23rd at 8 p.m. with an evening of favorite songs and stories from her critically lauded one-woman cabaret show. L.A.'s newest theatrical home, the beautiful Valley Performing Arts Center, which I absolutely love,
yeah,
we've been there a couple of times, offers a vibrant and diverse performance program to the Los Angeles theater-going community every season, as well as serving the intellectual and cultural heart as the intellectual and cultural heart of San Fernando Valley. The Valley Performing Arts Center series at California State University Northridge is known for its commitment to bringing engaging professional performances of the highest caliber to its exceptional venues. For tickets to see Bebe Neuwirth in concert on February 23rd, visit valleyperformingartscenter.org. That's valleyperformingartscenter.org. Or you can call the box office. That's 818-677-3000. And the Valley Performing Arts Center is located at 18111 Nordoff Street in Northridge, as you said, on the campus of CSUN.
Yes, indeed. And it's a gorgeous facility with the most amazing sight lines and the most amazing sound.
Yeah. People have referred to it as like a mini Disney concert hall.
Yes.
And it has that sort of look, that sort of burnished wood.
Yeah.
Burnished. Boy,
I like
educated,
that.
Huh?
Yes, you are.
Burnish just came to
me
naturally.
Well,
but no, it's a great venue and a great space, and I would love to see Bebe.
She's
great,
terrific.
Isn't she?
Indeed. And Paul,
yes,
I know that it's time again for something that we do every week. We do this every week, Jennifer.
Oh.
It's
okay.
State of the Arts Sweepstakes, if you will. There you go.
They're waiting.
Sponsored by Breakdown Services, of course. Each week, we raffle off a different prize to a fan of State of the Arts. The prizes are furnished by Breakdown Services and include free yearly subscriptions to Casting About, casting agent directories, free video uploads for actors, headshot retouching, even a free year of unlimited submissions on Actors Access.
I can't contain
it's
myself.
Too exciting,
I'm
isn't
so
it?
Enthused.
Yes.
Yeah.
So to enter, ladies and gentlemen, all you have to do is like us, Paul and me, like us and our show on our Facebook page by visiting facebook.com/stateoftheartsLA. So Paul, will you spin that wheel?
I certainly will. I call it Libro di Faccia.
Libro di Faccia.
Yes. It just makes me sound more European. I don't say Facebook anymore.
Libro
di Faccia. Yes.
What is this little wheel?
This is.
I thought it was going to be a brand new.
I know.
Wheel.
I can't find. I haven't found my right sound.
That poor
yet.
Thing.
So who's our winner, Michael?
Let's see. Round and round she went, and today's winner, it looks like, is Renee Albert from Los Angeles, California.
Hey.
God
love her. Yes.
You won. So you will receive an unlimited submission on Actors Access for a full year. And if you're listening, congratulations. We will also alert you through our Facebook page.
God love her. I know Renee, actually. That's kind of coincidental. Yeah, she likes our Facebook page. But I think she probably likes me just as a person.
And maybe a little bit better than me.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I just liked your page recently. Maybe.
Did you?
Something.
I don't know.
I'm not an actor, though.
Okay. Well.
Oh, we'll find something for you.
Thank you for liking it.
We'll send you. All right. So thank you, Jennifer, for being so patient. The lovely Jennifer Schwartz is with us, and we're going to talk about her project right now. And I will kick it off with $1 billion. Rising began as a call to action based on the staggering statistic, and I can't believe this, Michael. I read this and my jaw dropped.
It's awful.
The staggering statistic that 1 in 3 women on the planet will be beaten or raped during her lifetime.
Wow.
So with the population, the world population at 7 billion, this adds up to more than 1 billion women and girls. And so on February 14th, 2013, V-Day's 15th anniversary, V-Day Los Angeles will join activists, writers, thinkers, celebrities, and women and men across the world as we express their outrage, demand change, strike, dance, and rise in defiance of the injustices women suffer, demanding an end at last to violence against women. V-Day Los Angeles will present a three-week run of the play The Vagina Monologues at various locations around the city, promoting the movement to end violence against women and girls in order to reach as broad an audience as possible. So as I mentioned, here with us to tell us more about this incredibly important event, please welcome Jennifer Schwartz. How are you?
Welcome, Jennifer.
I'm doing great. I'm so happy to be on the show.
Oh, well, we're happy.
We're happy to have you.
And congrats on doing something so unique and something so important, obviously. As Paul said, the statistics are staggering.
It is. It really is. It's quite awful. When I read about 1 billion rising, I almost wanted to cry just thinking about all those women that have been abused. But the great thing about it is, you know, here we are through the V-Day organization. We have a chance to do something about it. You know, sometimes you feel so out of control with everything that's happening in the world, and this gives us a chance to do something good and give back, especially as artists, you know, through our art.
Yeah. Now, is this your first year being involved with the V-Day projects, or have you done it before?
I've never done it before. I've actually never even seen it. I've just read it a million times. I have the book at home, and I love it so much, so I'm so excited to be a part of it and give it a unique spin, as I've never actually seen it before, and to just give back to some of these local charities and organizations that we've chosen.
Right. Now, the just a little bit of history before we get into this, Michael. I don't know if you, but Jennifer and I worked together on A Flea in Her Ear at the Edgemar Center, directed by Doug Kayback, who's actually a professor at Cal State Northridge, and we met there. She was a wonderful person to work with. Did you find that, when you knew that 1 billion rising was happening, was the idea of producing that play fresh on your mind as an idea, we have to do this? Or did someone approach you, or did you go at it for as a committee? Or
My co-producer Lena Coleman, who's a good friend of mine, we work a lot together in theater, approached me last year, but we were already producing a play and just didn't have the time to devote to it.
Okay.
And then this year, actually, it was right around the time of the Sandy Hook shootings.
Okay.
Well, we just felt so awful, and we felt like, what can we do? We can't do anything for this particular situation. Right. What can we do in general? And she was like, let's do the Vagina Monologues, you know? Oh. Let's do something. Let's give back. And I was like, let's do it, you know? Right. I can't think of anything better to do going into 2013.
Yeah, and a lot of people think, for those that haven't seen the Vagina Monologues, I think there's sort of a belief that there's obviously a great deal of humor in it, but there's some real poignancy in that in that piece as well.
There are.
And I think that that was going to have added weight given this subject matter.
Now, you're not only doing it on what is referred to as V-Day, of course, Valentine's Day, but also V-Day. In support of this effort, but you're doing it on other dates as well. Is that correct?
Yes. V-Day organization allows you to do three different performance dates.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we've done is Lena's producing one, I'm producing the other, and we're each doing two. So there's two casts. One does three Thursdays, the other does three Tuesdays. And we're just working together as a big group. There's 11 cast members in each cast. So 22 actors total, 10 different female directors as well, doing different monologues.
Holy cow.
And you're doing them at different locations.
Yes, all over the Los Angeles area.
So February 14th, you're going to be at the McCadden Place Theater.
Yes, in Hollywood.
Right. We know that lovely venue. And then you're going to be at the Blank Theater on February 19th.
Also great, the Blank, great friends of State of the Arts. We've had them on a number of times.
Yes, and Bar Melody. I'm not familiar with that.
Is that Bar M? Is that?
It's a Bar Melody. It's in Westchester.
You're thinking of M Bar.
Oh, I'm thinking of M Bar.
Yeah.
I'm so hip, aren't I? Yes. Yeah. Bar M, M bar. Let's call it. You say tomato.
Yes.
Bar Melody is in Westchester.
Yes. Okay. The show's it's very carousel. It's very flexible as it just being a set of monologues, very limited costumes and props. We wanted to do it at a lot of different venues that would just open up to our audience space of how many people might be able to see it. So we do have a couple of lounges and bars as well as theaters that are allowing us to do their show there for free.
Gotcha.
And then you're at Skinny's, North Hollywood.
Yeah, we have two
kind
dates
well
there.
Well down there in the NoHo Arts District.
They do a lot of cabarets, and they want to do more theater, so they were really excited that we
That's on the 26th and 28th of February, and then you open March, the month of March, on the 5th, and at Cafe Face Dudu?
Faye Dodo.
Oh, Faye Dodo.
Faye Dodo.
Excuse me.
Yeah. Tomato. Tomato.
Yes,
Faye Dodo. Faye Dodo.
And we're also doing we're having our closing night party at Faye Dodo as well.
Yeah.
As soon as the show closes. So we'll have a huge party there afterwards. Anyone who's come to any of the shows, can also attend the party.
Okay.
And on February 14th, V-Day for 1 Billion Rising, we're going to have a little dance party at the Next Door Lounge just down the street from the McCadden Theater.
Oh, wow.
So right after the show, we're heading over there. We have a secret password to let people in, and we're really excited about
Paul will be asking you for that
password. How do we is it all word of mouth, the password?
Yeah, or? we're just pretty much, word of mouth giving it to people so it doesn't get
so it doesn't become a zoo. Okay. Okay.
But
Paul might be leading that crusade.
Well, why do you say?
You love to dance, you know.
Oh, other people's seizure, Michael. I don't dance. I dance terribly.
Well, that's the great thing about 1 Billion Rising. It's just all about dancing, not, if you can
dance. It's about
dance
like no one's watching. Is that what they say?
Being yourself, freeing yourself.
Yeah. It's not so much that I dance like no one's watching. I dance and paramedics come because they think there's a problem. We should also mention all of these incredibly generous venues again so that you can support them in the future. Obviously, you will support them initially with the 1 Billion Rising project. But after that, do attend some of the productions there because they do great work. These, of course, are the McCadden Place Theater, the Blank Theater. I haven't been to Bar Melody, but I'm sure it's a wonderful place. I like bars, and I'm a big fan of melodies.
There you go.
Skinny's in North Hollywood and Cafe Faye Dodo. Faye Dodo.
Faye Dodo.
Yes.
Faye
Dodo, who is one of the lesser known characters from Lord of the Rings. Cafe Faye Dodo. Yes.
And then her cousin Dodo Bird.
Yeah. Right. Yes, okay. Of course. So now
that sounds like such a great. I saw a production of it at the Cannon Theater in Beverly Hills some years ago.
Mm-hmm.
My client, Susan Anton, was one of the cast members in that production, which was pretty celebrity driven.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first and only time that I've seen it. And I really was, and it had been around for a while by then. But wow, it's a very dynamic play.
Yeah.
That really takes you on a very interesting ride from, as you said, humor to some very gritty, serious stuff, So it's kind of one of those plays for all time, I think.
And you say that you read it, but you hadn't seen it.
I have not seen it. I've never seen it. So I'm just going solely based on what I've read and, trying to make it fun and original and interesting. And there are those poignant moments, too, that are very touching.
Now you're going to be acting in this as well?
I'm not. I'm producing the entire thing as well as directing a few of the pieces.
Okay, got that. And this is not your directorial debut.
No, I've done a few things. Mm-hmm. I mostly produce, though. Produce and cast.
Do you favor that over any other aspect, directing or? Or acting?
I'm a bit of a nerd. I like being in front of the computer and doing admin work, so I think I do favor producing. I love making schedules and spreadsheets.
Yeah, no, I know. My wife is the same way. Monica's all about, she's fastidious.
I love that, though.
But you are, too.
Well, but not as much as probably you or Monica, no.
No.
I like organization. I'm Virgo. I'm anal and retentive and, all of those qualities that Virgos have. So
I'm curious about, to get back to this other thing, in terms of what 1 Billion Rising is about, that statistic keeps coming back to me. When I read the name of the event, 1 Billion Rising, the immediate thought is, oh, it's just a lot of people getting together to fight this thing. It's just a billion people. But then when you read that, no, it's actually 1 billion victims.
Yeah.
And I can't think of any, I'm like drawing a blank trying to think of some other horror that affects so many people on this planet. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I mean, I remember having a conversation with Monica. Monica was at some event, and there were a good amount of women there. And one of them mentioned a molestation issue that happened when she was younger. And I was just completely bowled over, because when it happens to someone in your own life, mm-hmm. you're like, oh my God, I can't believe that happened to her. And, you know, I was talking about it. And then Monica just turned to me and she said, you know, you get a group of 15 or 20 women together, you know, it's very, very likely that it's well more than one person that experienced
yeah.
that.
Most sure. of them,
and I was I was completely astounded by that. We have a call in here. Should we take it? Let's see what we have going on, and we can
yeah.
give it a listen.
Yeah.
Maybe they're inquiring about the project, but we'll find out soon enough. Mm-hmm. You've called State of the Arts, and you're on with us. Who are we speaking to?
Is this Michael?
No, this is Paul, actually. You're on the air with State of the Arts currently.
No, I'm listening to it, so I'm not on the air, right?
You actually are on the air. You called in, and
that sounds like the voice of Adrian Russ.
It is, and I just wanted to get a message to Michael about somebody he wanted to talk to today, and that person is available.
Oh, okay.
So I just wanted to let him know.
Okay.
Oh, well, thank you.
Well,
he should just check his phone.
Wow. How cryptic.
Okay.
A message, huh?
Well, all right.
You mean talk to on the radio?
Boy, Michael, you got clout. You got people
right?
You got people calling you when you're on the air. That's how important you are.
And Adrian,
that's how much we love him.
Well, thank you so much. Michael, I would say I'd give Michael the message, but he has it currently.
Yes, I do, and so do 60,000 other people.
Yeah. Pick up your dry cleaning,
Michael.
Wishing
you well. Have a great show.
Okay.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Pick up your dry cleaning, Michael.
Yes.
We need milk and eggs. Yeah, take care of that.
I have a feeling it may be from one of the guests that
wanted she probably had an old contact sheet or something with the studio phone number on it rather than your
own
phone.
Or
you know what we should do, Michael? Why don't we just do this? Why don't we just give your cell phone number out on the air?
Sure.
Yeah. And then we'll just
that way anyone can get a hold of you.
Yeah, exactly.
No matter what.
And I'd so appreciate
password,
that.
The password is federal. Just mention that. So, Jennifer, whose idea was it to have these, was it just born of the fact that you were doing it in different locations, that it would be rotating casts, that you just wanted to have, because, you know, undertaking a project of this scope at all these different locations is, you know, difficult enough.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Tinkerbell just entered. Tinker, it's great to have you. Have a seat. We'll get a headset. You have the tiny headset, Michael?
Very tiny.
Tiny headset.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Throw it on Tinkerbell and let her sort of settle in. But no, Jennifer, did you always know you wanted to do it on this scope at different locations with different casts?
I didn't, because I didn't even know what I was getting into, because I'd never done it before. But I, basically all of the proceeds from the show, the performances, are going to our chosen beneficiaries. So we wanted to keep the costs as low as possible. Because if I'm going to be spending all this money on the show, I would prefer to just donate it straight to those organizations. So we're trying to keep our costs very, very low. So we couldn't just rent out a theater for, you know, 3 to 6 days because it's
right.
so expensive. So we found places that are either giving it to us for free or at a very, very low rate in order for us to, you know, be able to perform this amazing show. And we also wanted to put it in different areas. You know, we have a couple in Hollywood, North Hollywood, the West Side, Faye Dodo's around West Adams and La Brea. We want to be everywhere. That way more people will go to it.
Right. And that's a big thing. As we mentioned earlier, talking about the Odyssey play, that's a huge thing in Los Angeles is get it being closer to the venue. I mean, there's people
Definitely.
There's people who live in the valley who won't see a production in Santa Monica just because of how long it takes you to get there, you know?
And I understand that. We all understand that. We have to, because we have to put up with that kind of traffic. So
yeah, everyone's that's a thing.
I must say that I get impatient and I will sometimes elect not to go, as Paul just said.
No.
For that very reason. But I do need to get out there, and because of what we do, you know, here in State of the Arts and supporting the arts, I do make it a point of going and seeing a lot of theater, actually.
Me too, yeah.
And it's important to me. I would opt to see a theater over a movie, actually. But,
me too.
The experience is better for me, but I need to see some movies now that all of these nominations have come.
I think that
I know you went to see Les Mis.
Plays over movies only because people, by and large, are usually far more respectful at a play than they are. Because I tell you, one person will ruin a movie experience for
mm-hmm.
me. I don't suffer loud fools gladly. So I tend to let them know that they are breaking theatrical protocol. I do want to talk about movies, but before we do, I want to throw the information out about how people can attend these productions of the Vagina Monologues that are going on. First of all, the primary website about the overall event is vday.org, and then there is 1billionrising.org. But the productions of Vagina Monologues, you have a Facebook page?
We do.
Okay, and that is? Do you know the... people just do a search?
If you type in Vagina Monologues Los Angeles, you'll find it.
Okay. So ticketing? I have a phone number here, but I'm not sure if this is... is it 310? Is that the phone number for tickets? Or do people get tickets online? How do they go about that?
Learn more about it, for sure.
If they want to... because we're saving money, we haven't set up a ticketing agent because it costs so much.
Oh, often. Gotcha.
So we're just taking... We're letting you email us, and then we'll just take your reservations via email, and then you can come to the door. It's $10 at the door.
$10
gotcha. If you make a reservation.
Okay.
Let's use my email.
All right, sure.
It's JenniferAnnSchwartz@hotmail.com.
Would you spell that, Jennifer?
I will.
Just for the listeners?
It's JenniferAnnSchwartz@hotmail.com. So it's my full name.
Okay.
And, you know, people can find me on Facebook as well. You know,
okay.
Look me up, Jennifer Schwartz. In Los Angeles on Facebook. I'll add anyone. I'll direct you to our Facebook page. We're creating a Facebook event invite. And we're just trying to get as many people, you know, to come to this, see it, love it,
donate. She'll take you to coffee.
Because I never thought about that. But that is, I mean, if you're chipping away at all those little incidental costs mm-hmm. that come together, that box office architecture is a big one.
You know, normally when I'm doing a play, I don't mind, you know, however much it is, $100, you know, to get together the ticketing agent, but for this particular one, I thought, you know what, we need to save that money, because that's $100 that could be going, you know, to Haven Hills. That's one of our beneficiaries in Canoga Park.
What is Haven Hills?
Haven Hills is a house in an organization in Canoga Park that gives shelter to women escaping domestic violence, women and children escaping domestic violence and bad relationships. They give them transitional shelter for like up to 18 months, or just like crisis shelter, you know, for a week, depending on how much they need it. They offer crisis counseling and just all sorts of avenues in which they can get help.
Okay.
They give them a lot of information, anything they need, basically. And then we have 1736 Crisis Center, which is closer to downtown LA. They do the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, offering shelter in times of need.
And I would imagine that these organizations are mentioned on the Facebook page if people want to go after this event to, you know, support them.
Yeah, we're going to have information at each event as well about our organizations.
Okay. Yeah. And it seems to me that with what you were saying about, I don't want to say casual, the casual nature of it, making it sound like it's not well planned or anything. I mean, the way you're talking about, you know, getting together and the party afterwards and all that, I imagine you're going to have a lot of walk-up business too. People just coming to the events because, you know, especially because it's in these sort of, you know, non-traditional theatrical, some of them are non-traditional theatrical mm-hmm. locations where mm-hmm. it's just the more people you pack in, the more fun it is.
Exactly.
You know, so.
Sounds wonderful. And thank you for doing this and doing it for the reason of which you are doing it. It's so important.
It is.
And I'm going to throw those websites out there again.
Yeah.
This is vday.org is the primary one. And then for this particular event, it's 1billionrising.org. And be sure to look up the Vagina Monologues Los Angeles on Facebook, and you will get the page. And be sure to type in everything. The Vaginal Monologues, Los Angeles. Don't take any abbreviations by putting that search in.
Although, I will say, when I look it up all the time,
yeah.
I go onto it constantly as I'm the admin for the page, and I just type in vagina and it pops right up.
Well, you're lucky. You're lucky, because you've been there recently, but you just for those going there the first time,
you might find something shocking.
Type the whole thing
what
out.
What about this number? Do you not want to give that number out?
I believe that is my co-producer's cell phone. I think she's okay with putting it on the press release, but not probably giving it out to everyone. Email me. I'm happy to take all reservations via email.
Okay.
Jennifer Schwartz.
Yes. But before we only have like 5 minutes left, Michael, but you were saying, we talked about this earlier, you were asking me about movies.
Yes.
Which of the ones have you seen?
I have
Jennifer,
not.
Feel free to chime
not
in on this.
One. Not
you
a
haven't
one.
Seen any of them?
No, because
me
of,
either,
you know,
except
what
for
I've
Les
been,
Mis.
I haven't even seen Les Mis. I've been trying to get there.
You should see it.
And
no, she said knowingly. Why did you have such a smile when you
it's
said that? You tell me what you think before I'll tell you what I think.
I didn't see it for like 2 weeks, and I felt like I was the only person on the planet who hadn't seen
exactly.
it. Everyone was
you
on Facebook going, "Oh, Les Mis," and I was like, "Oh my God, I need to see this." It was great. It's always tough when you take an amazing musical and translate it to a different medium.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always very forgiving when they do that, because it's a completely different medium. It's so tough to do that. But I loved Anne Hathaway. Oh my gosh.
I wasn't expecting to like her as much as
me
I did.
Me either, because I didn't know what kind of musical theater background she had.
Yeah,
I thought
she
was absolutely amazing. It was very good.
And
very
the fact
good.
That they sing live in the movie.
That's really impressive.
Yeah.
Really, really impressive.
You know, I that to me... Of course, that was impressive, but to me, what impressed me even more than that was the fact that so many of the songs were one lockdown shot from beginning to end.
Yes.
And that there weren't cutaways, and because that covers a lot of wounds, you know, that covers a lot of mistakes. Quick, you know, editing can fix just about anything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, I mean, to have them sing was one thing, to sing live, you know, without lip syncing it, but then to also have it be contiguous. You know, is very impressive and very play-like, you know?
Somebody sent me a link to a review of it that was done by someone who had a blog, who was a self-imposed critic, or self-proclaimed critic, and it was truly hilarious.
Oh, I know the one you're talking about.
I know I know which
He's
one you're
kind
talking about.
He's kind of a real blue-collar guy.
Yeah, the yes. guy, my wife dragged me to this.
Yes.
And then
yes.
Wolverine starts singing.
Oh,
and then,
yes.
That was great.
Yes.
And about, you know, how is it possible that, you know, in this one village that this guy was...
Move
know,
out of town! Yeah. Move out of town! I think that, what was it? It was how Les Mis taught me how to hate again.
Exactly.
That's what it was.
Oh, well, so it circulated.
It was, it was viral.
Very,
it was very,
yeah.
very,
very
funny.
Funny.
And I loved Anne Hathaway too. I loved Colm Wilkinson, the priest who was the original.
And how was Hugh Jackman?
Hugh Jackman was great. Mm-hmm. And you know, the thing is that there's a whole school of thought about Russell Crowe.
Yeah.
And that he's not a singer, never claimed to be, you know, a singer. I mean, he has a band and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But, and, you know, the only thing that bothered me about it was that when he was asked about it, was sort of like, well, the director wanted it real. So that's why we did it that way. We wanted it real. Well, it's not, he's not there because he's a real singer. Let's just call a spade here. He's there because he's a movie star. And this is a different thing. Like you said, Jennifer, it's an issue of you have to make a different piece of art out of an existing piece of art.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't compare the two. It's like pizza and frozen pizza. Pizza is Broadway and frozen pizza are movies.
What an interesting analogy.
It will never be the same thing.
Yeah.
You see. But you can get really good frozen pizza, but it won't be a live performance. You see what
sure.
I'm saying?
When you put
is
it like
that a strange
that? Yes,
metaphor?
Yes, but I understand it because I like pizza.
Okay. Good. Who else did you... you said you haven't seen it.
No, I have not seen it.
I have the screener. Do you want me to bring it next time?
Yeah. No, you know what? Because that needs to be seen in a movie theater, I think.
But here's the thing. Will you, though? Will you get your butt to a movie theater and actually watch it?
I will. If it's at the Arclight in Hollywood, if it's still there, that's where I like to go see movies.
Okay.
And it's at the Cinerama Dome over there. Is that where you went?
I was actually, for Christmas, I was in the Bay Area in San Ramon.
Okay.
Oh, man.
I don't know where I was at.
Oh, wow.
It was a movie theater.
And did you see it on television, or did you go to the movie?
No, Monica and I have been on a movie-watching jaunt. We watch more movies in the past 3 weeks than we've watched in the past 3 years.
Over the holidays, that's always the time to do
it. Yeah, we saw Lincoln. We saw Skyfall, which was one of the best James Bond movies I've ever seen.
I would love to see
that. That was fantastic.
You and I should go together and catch up on this.
We started to watch Life of Pi. We got a screener for Life of Pi, and I fell asleep 3 times.
Oh, wow.
Before he even got on the boat.
Not
I just
a good
very slow starting. Yeah. Very slow starting. And I'm sure it's visually stunning, but I never even got that far because we were so bored.
You hadn't had some wine or something before?
No, just my usual 6 glasses of scotch. No wine.
Well, I can't imagine why you fell asleep.
Yeah. Why? we're gonna wrap it up. So let's throw this out. The show is The Vagina Monologues in a number of locations. McCadden Place Theater, the Blank Theater, Bar Melody, Skinny's in North Hollywood for 2 nights, and Cafe Fi Dodo. And you can go onto the Libro di Faccia and do a search for Vagina Monologues Los Angeles and get all the information for this incredible thing that is benefiting 1 Billion Rising.
So important. Yes. And then conversely, we're going to also give Gregory Harrison a little plug here, and that is The Snake Can, ladies and gentlemen, with an amazing cast, this world premiere of a comic drama that proves growing older doesn't always mean growing wiser. Written by Catherine Graff and directed by Steve Rotman, starring Diane Carey, Gregory Harrison, of course, Jane Kaczmarek, from Malcolm in the Middle, James Lancaster, Joel Polis, Sharon Sharth, and it is in progress now, and it plays through February 24th. And just simply go to the odysseytheater.com website or call 310-477-2055, extension 2 for tickets. It's a winner.
It's a winner. Jennifer, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank
we hope you had a good time
me.
While you were here.
I did. It was fun.
And best of luck with this very, very important event that you are helping with. And Michael?
Yes.
Always a pleasure.
Same here, Paul. Thank you. See you on the radio.
And we'll see you next week.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.